The year that made me.
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 Well, today's guest emerged in 1984 with something special. It was an appropriate book title because it really was the start of something special, a sparkling literary career. She's won the Children's Book Council of Australia's Book of the Year for Younger Readers Award. She's won that a record 5 times, the first time with Something Special. Her children's books range from picture books to young adult fiction, her best known being the fantasy series Del Toro Quest, published in around 30 countries. Now, by now, I can hear children across the world shouting, "It's Emily Rodder!" And they'll know Emily has just published a new book, The Shop at Hooper's Bend. But Emily Rodder is just one name this prolific Australian author uses. She also writes adult crime novels under her real name, Jennifer Rowe. So, Jennifer, Emily, welcome to the program. It's great to meet you.
Hello. Thank you, Tom.
Now, when you had your first book published in 1984, Something Special, you were in your mid-30s.
Yeah.
You already had a successful career as an editor and publisher. Did you always have a burning desire to be an author?
When I was very young, when I was a child, I did. Yes, I always thought that would be the thing I wanted to do most. That was my great dream. When I got to be a wise 16-year-old, I decided that was a stupid ambition and no one, you know, it's a sort of thing like my brother thinking he was going to be an astronaut. So I actually gave up the idea, went to work in publishing to be close to books, but never thought that I would be able to be a writer myself.
What did you write about when you were a child?
Mostly fantasy. Fairies and monsters and much the same, in fact, as I did later. I also wrote adventures because I was, you know, when I was 7 and 8, I was a great Enid Blyton fan. So, you know, the famous five.
Oh,
and all
indeed,
that.
And the Secret Seven.
So I attempted to write that sort of thing too. But I think I was most successful at the fantasy.
Fortunately, my daughters are still at the stage with Beatrix Potter.
Ah, yes. Well, that's
she
nice.
She was fantastic, wasn't
yes.
she?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I've read that your first book, Something Special, began as a story you told your daughter when she asked you to tell her a story rather than read her a story. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. She was 7 and she could read quite well. Mm-hmm. And the little one was 2, her brother was 2, and I was reading to him. And I think she must have suddenly thought, "I'd like something different. Mum, tell me a story." So I did. I started telling her stories, just making them up as I went along. And then I think it was about the 3rd one. I sort of went out of her room afterwards and I thought, you know, that wasn't a bad story, really. I thought about it for about a week probably. Yeah, and then I started to write it down.
Well, tell us about your family because your father was pretty prominent in the 60s in the media world, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was general manager and then managing director of Seven, right. Channel 7.
And the name Sydney. Emily Rodder was your grandmother's name, right?
Yes, my grandmother's name. My grandmother's maiden name.
Right.
And her mother's married name.
And was she a storyteller?
They weren't great readers, that side of the family at all. So the stories they told me, and I did grow up in an absolute world of stories, but they were family stories. And Nan used to tell me stories all the time. Often they were cautionary tales like Auntie Ginny who tipped back on her chair like that and nearly bit her tongue in half, that kind of cautionary tale. There was a funny one she often used to tell, but Second World War, one of her neighbours, uh-huh. They were practising at blacking out the houses and one of the local, I suppose, sort of wardens who happened to be a guy who ran the Chinese gardens came to her house, this neighbour, to tell her that there was light showing. And she opened the door and screamed, "They've landed!" and fainted on the floor.
If you've just tuned in, you're on RN with me, Tom Switzer, and our guest for the year that made me is a celebrated Australian children's book author, Emily Rodder, who also writes adult crime mysteries under her real name, Jennifer Rowe. Now, you've chosen 1992 as the year that made you. Why, Emily?
Well, it was a real watershed in my life because that was the year I left my day job, my full-time work, and became a full-time writer.
Right, because you wrote your first book in 1984, so there was an 8-year period there.
Well, I'd been sort of producing books, but I wrote them at night and I was working during the day and I had four children. So I had
four children. Why are you doing all this? And your oldest, I understand, was what, a teenager by then. So you had three other preteens.
I had.
When did you get the time to write?
Well, everyone says that, but actually I used to do it at night. I designated three nights a week and as soon as the children were in bed, I'd write.
Now, your fantasy adventure books, the Del Toro Quest series, they're best known, I think it's fair to say.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What, 16 million books? Is that the figure?
They're saying 18 million.
18
now.
Million books in 30 countries, I think I mentioned in my introduction. That is extraordinary.
A lot of languages. And
But for those who haven't yet discovered them, how would you describe those books?
Well, I write fantasy. I mean, my new book, for example, is what they'd call magical reality, I suppose, in the sense that it's set in a normal world, but magic things happen in it. Del Toro Quest and its predecessor, Rowan of Rin, are set in fantasy worlds. And the whole point of Del Toro Quest is it's a series of the first series, say, the first one I wrote was eight books, quite short, very straightforward, fairly simple language, and a very gripping plot. It's about, of course, saving the kingdom from the evil Shadow Lord. And by saying that, I'm actually not knocking it. It's quite a complicated story because I felt very much that what a lot of kids who loved computer games but didn't love reading so much, their reading skills were not great. They were fairly basic. But their sophistication was much higher than that. Mm. They could understand quite complicated concepts if they weren't baffled by the language, by long paragraphs and so on. So I started writing in that style, loving it too, myself, of course.
Now, your latest book, The Shop at Hooper's Bend, that's just come out. Good timing with Book Week and all. Give our young listeners a sneak preview.
Ah, well, The Shop at Hooper's Bend is about a girl who feels a bit lonely, I guess, who has a very strong inner life, who finds herself in a little shop that seems to have been abandoned but hasn't really. And there she meets an older woman who owns the shop and a funny little dog. And they suddenly realise or come to feel that they've all been brought there for a reason. It's an unusual kind of book in a way, but I think it's something that people will find quite fascinating if they think like me that some places exert a spell on certain people.
Mm. Now, listen, last week on the program we talked to an authority on how social media, especially iPads and iPhones, are all things considered creating a lot of trouble down the road for young children, you know, social mental health problems. To what extent do you think this use of iPads and iPhones that young children use is hurting their prospects of reading books?
Well, obviously it can because they're so incredibly appealing. Mm. And I should point out too that we keep telling them books are good for them and that iPads aren't, and that's a very good way of making them
yes.
go to the forbidden. I mean, we all know
indeed
about that.
Absolutely.
However, I so passionately think that the book itself does people, you know, a power of good, and that it helps so much with the development of empathy or about a deep learning and so on and so forth.
And they get a grasp of proper grammar as well.
There's that too. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I'm not talking about paper books here, are you? Mm. If it comes to later on that children are going to read all their books on iPads, well, I think that's a shame because personally, I like a book you can put in your back pocket, you know, if you need to. And I think the kids that I've found who've fallen in love with certain books do carry them around. They carry them around in their back pocket or in their backpack. I have to say, what you have to do is find the book. Some people call it the magic book, the book that your child will latch onto and not be able to put down, not need you to read it, not need funny voices, not any of that, that they can take away and that can be their friend And I know it can happen. I've seen it happen so many, many times with Del Toro Quest, with other books.
At what age do you think this starts happening?
Well, it can happen quite early, but I would have thought that when you'd be expecting and wanting it to happen would be like 8, 7,
right.
and 8.
Emily, you've chosen 1992 as the year that made you. The song you've chosen, or the artist at least, is Joni Mitchell. We've had other guests who've chosen Joni Mitchell. The Circle Game, why is that song special for you?
It's probably because at this time, I've been writing now for generations of children. Now when I sit in a book signing line, I haven't just got 8-year-old heights. I've got 25-year-olds standing there wanting me to sign their very battered copy of right. something or
what
other.
A good feeling that must be.
I keep meeting people with real jobs who read my books. So I do tend to think it's like a circle. And I have seen that, like Joni Mitchell's wonderful lyrics say, children have dreams, they have fantasies. That's really good because, in fact, yes, those fantasies get blunted, but the having those dreams allow them to have other ones later. While they can still have this that feeling that anything is possible, they've got a much better chance later in life of doing the thing that they're going to love. Mm. I mean, Einstein said, I'll paraphrase because I can't remember the exact words, but he said, if you want your children to be clever, read them fairy tales. If you want them to be very clever, read them more fairy tales. That's because it's all to do with the imagination. Mm. It's one of the reasons why books are so important.
Emily Rodder, otherwise known as Jennifer Rowe, it's been a delight. And I have to say, this is a prediction, my daughters will be very jealous that I've met you. Now here's your song, Joni Mitchell. Bear in mind, Emily's book, The Shop at Hooper's Bend, is out. Being Book Week and all, it's worth getting. Take it away, Joni Mitchell.
Yesterday, a child came out to wander, caught a dragonfly inside a jar. Fearful, when the sky was full of the seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go. Child moved 10 times round the seasons, skated over 10 clear frozen streams. Words like, when you're older, must appease him, and promises of someday make his dream. The seasons, they go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on the carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came and go.
Okay, that's the Circle Game by Joni Mitchell. That's a song chosen by Australian children's book author Emily Rodder. Wasn't she wonderful? She was my guest this morning for the year that made me.